Gabriel mentioned this morning regarding prayer. Was really been on my heart and felt an overwhelming sense this morning. Just as I was, when I got up early this morning and I was just reading and praying and stuff, that we really need to push the boat hard. In the spiritual realm, often what we reap does not come immediately after we have sown something. Sometimes there is a time gap. Just in the, as in the natural, when we sow seed in the ground, it has to be watered. As soon as we put the seed in the ground, we don't immediately see it a reaping of it. It takes time. In the spiritual realm, there seems to be a roll on from stuff that is sown spiritually until we see a reaping of it. What I have noticed and felt in the spiritual realm that we are just on the edge of really getting battered as a kickback from the South Koreans being with us in prayer. Because let me assure you this, the spiritual realm in this area knows what has been going on. They know what's been going on. They know ground has been taken by our Korean brothers and sisters while they were here and praying, and by us praying with alongside them and pushing with them. But the reality is this, we do not live in an area that has got a Christian spirituality as the strongest thing. We are in an area that it is openly, in this town is openly against the things of God. Fact. We have a witch's shop in our town square. We have a spiritualist shop down Sun Street. It is known that there are many people in this town in places of education, etc., that are spiritualists. Fact. Therefore, there is a very active anti-God, anti-Christ activity going on in this town. So we need to push back against that and keep pushing back against that. The spiritual realm will hear what is going on. Therefore, we need to respond as the people of God and push the things of God. Therefore, how we push the things of God? We need to push it in prayer and in worship. We must pray. We must pray. That is why I asked Gabriel to mention it this morning. Tuesday morning from 6 till 7, Thursday morning from 6 till 7, as well as Monday night, and then Friday night from 7 till 8, to get in and pray specifically, to stir things up. You know what? We believe that the fires have been lit. We believe that. We even looking at that video from Lord of the Rings and the fires, the beacons being lit. They've blowed on the embers. They've blown on the embers of the things of God, and stuff has got stirred up. We need to keep on pressing on and pressing on and pressing on. I don't say that because we look around today and lots of people are away. There's lots of people away because it's holiday time. That's a fact. That's just that. I'm not bothered about the fact that there's people away. People are away. But I sense in the spiritual realm that we've got to really push. We really have to push and push and really get in there. Gabriel mentioned we have two places of prayer. One of that's just about our relationship, our intimacy with God. The other place of prayer is where we petition God, where we wrestle, we get stuck in, we push the things of God, we call out to God to change, we call out, we align our prayer with the will of God, and we call out. The thing is, we can call out for revival because that's the will of God. We can call out for people to get saved because that is the will of God. We can call out to God for healing because that is the will of God. So let us gather together. If you're unable to get along, please make an effort in your own homes to pray and pray. And I want to put together some specific things this week for us to pray about and pray through. So that'll be really cool. This morning I want to talk about praying with expectation. During the week I read this quote from John Piper. John Piper is one of the outstanding Christian teachers in the world. He's an American guy. I think he's around about, he's a little bit older than, I think he's in his early 60s, just a remarkable teacher. And he said this, one of the signs that God is going to do a great work is that he begins to stir up his people to pray for it. He lays a burden on a person here and a person there. He brings it back to their mind again and again. It stalks them. It drives them to their knees or catches them on their knees. When God aims to do a great work, the first thing he harnesses is the power of prayer. He starts by planting the spark of desire in a few hearts. Then through prayer, he fans it into flame. And then the flame of desire and faith spreads to others. And soon large numbers are on their knees imploring the great work. Then God acts. Then he pours down his blessing. God loves to do great works of redemption. But even more, he loves to do it in answer to prayer. We got to be people of prayer. We really have to be counted as people of prayer. So this morning I want to kick off and start in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. Now in the New Living Translation it says this, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." Wait expectantly. Here's a definition of expectantly: having or showing an excited feeling that something is about to happen. I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that something is about to happen. Expectant crowds arriving, it talks about. We use it to describe a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman is expecting. They are expecting. It's an old thing to say. You are expecting. You know what? We need to be people of expectation. Whenever we pray, we need to be doing so with an expectation that God is going to answer what we are calling out to him. And that's what David, the psalm writer, did in writing this psalm. He had a need, he had a prayer. And the Amplified Translation puts it this way, "O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will prepare a prayer and a sacrifice in the morning for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart." I'll prepare a prayer and I will watch and I will wait for you to speak. When need came in his life, David laid out his needs in prayer and looked to God with an expectation that God would answer. Let me pause there with a little testimony from me. Monday night prayer here. Last Monday night we finished our praying, and then I think Phil said, "Which ankle is it, Jeff? Which ankle have you damaged?" I said, "It's my right one." Phil laid his hands on me. A few other people prayed for different things, prayed that there would be, I can't remember the exact words, but prayed for healing, that it would come, there would be nothing, etc., etc. I woke up Tuesday morning and went, "My ankle's not throbbing. Hang on. My ankle's not throbbing." I'd gone to a small injuries clinic and on the Friday, and they said, "Okay, you've got a fracture." Explained exactly what it was. "You need to keep off it." This is a week after I'd hurt it. "You need to keep off it." Of course, being me, I took no notice and carried on. What's that? And then Nayli prayed on the Saturday morning. What would she pray?
She prayed specifically that when you went
to here.
Nayli prayed specifically on the Saturday morning when we came in for going deeper, that when Jeff went to the fracture clinic, they would not find anything wrong with it.
So Tuesday, Nayli prayed, thanks for that, I've forgotten about that. Nayli prayed for me on the Saturday, then the guys prayed for me Monday night. I woke up Tuesday morning, ankles not throbbing because it had been really sore. You know, I've been on some decent painkillers. It's not sore, there's no ache in it. Still go to the fracture. So I went to the fracture clinic, get there with the orthopedic consultant. He goes, "Okay, this is your X-ray that they took of you on Friday. Here's the report. You have got according to that X-ray, there is a fracture there in your blah 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 blah." He said, But it's not a very good x-ray. Go and have a fresh x-ray. Come back and see. Come back to me straight away. Come back. He goes, okay, there's your x-ray from Friday. These are your x-rays from today. See that that was on your x-ray on Friday? It's not on these x-rays here. He said, you can tell by the, you can look, this is an incredible x-ray. You've broken your ankle before, haven't you? I said, yeah, a couple of times I've been in plaster with it. He goes, yeah, I can see there's all scarring. There's bits of bone floating around where there shouldn't be. There's bits missing. He said, but there's a little line going across there. He said, I'm not sure if it's scar tissue in the bone or it's a fracture. He goes, did it hurt? I mean, yeah, that hurt. He goes, okay, there's a little fracture just in the bone. He said, look, it's no problem. He said, it'll heal up in time. Weight bear, get going, do whatever you need to do. Get your walking, get happen. So it was like, yeah. Now, this is my story. When Phil said, can I pray for you? When I pray for you, of course I went, yeah, of course you can. Going, well, yeah, of course you can. Literally like that. Yeah, of course you can. I'm the pastor, of course I have to say, yes, you can pray for me. Then I had a fight that went on in my mind, in my head, that I had to really wrestle with. Jeff, are you really expecting to get healed? I've seen the x-ray and I've done this before. The trouble is when you've damaged yourself as much as I damaged myself as a youngster through my teens and into my 20s, it's like, well, you deserve, you know, this is, you did this yourself, you silly idiot, blah, 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 blah. I had to really battle. Lord, am I going to receive from you? Am I actually going to expect from you? Well, I won that battle in my mind in the end and went, yes, Lord, I am going to receive from you for this. You know what? We must pray with expectation. We must call out to God with expectation. Jesus put it this way in Mark 11:24 in the Amplified Version. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will. Notice that. In accordance with God's will. In accordance with God's will. It's not just about calling out to God for anything you feel like. It has to line up with the will of God. God will only respond to that which is in his will. So what is God? What is God's will? What is God's will? Pardon? His word. Where does his will come from? His word, doesn't it? His will comes from his word. So whatever we pray in accordance with what the word of God says will come to pass. That's what it actually says. Not what we, our dreams and our aspirations, but if they line up with the will of God, of course they will come to pass, but they must line up with the will of God, which is the will of God, which is the word of God. And it says, it goes on to say this, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Pretty clear, isn't it? When we pray according to God's word, according to his will, expecting that we have received, we will have whatever we ask. Those are the conditions for it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said this, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who keeps on asking receives, and who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. Three things here. When you ask, expect to receive. When you seek, expect to find, and when you knock, expect the door to be open. That's what that bit of scripture talks about. So why can we have such confidence to do so? Why can we have such confidence that when we ask, we should expect to receive, that when we seek, we expect to find, and when we knock, expect the door to be open? Why? Why should we have such confidence? Well, it goes on further in verses 9 and 10 and 11 of that bit of scripture out of Matthew 7. It says this, or what man is there among you who if his son asks for bread and will instead give him a stone? You wouldn't, would you? If your child asks you for a bit of bread, you are not going to say, here, take this bit of stone and chew on that. You're not going to do it, are you? If you are thirsty in the desert and there is no water, you put a stone in your mouth and you suck on that stone because it produces saliva. that actually causes a bit of refreshing. That's the only time, but that's not what it's talking about. Or if he asks for a fish, will you instead give him a snake? You're not going to do it, are you? If you then, evil, he's not saying we are evil, but it's by our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is a nature of, that is, our nature is one of sin. As you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking him? That's why, with confidence, we can ask, we can seek, and we can knock, because he is our good, good Father. It is like this. God is a good Father, and good fathers simply do not do what is harmful or awful to their children. With confidence, we can be rest assured that God will give what we ask according to his will, so we need to ask with expectation. Will, if you ask according to his will, to his word, you can do it with the expectation that he is going to back that up. See, our confidence to ask is defined by what our bearings are in relationship with the orientation of our heart. Jeff, what on earth are you talking about then? Well, the orientation of our heart talks about how or what we focus on in our lives. So, on Monday night, when Phil wanted to pray for me, the orientation of my heart right at that moment was, well, you were the silly idiot that fell off the back of the truck. You were the one that wasn't looking where you were, what you were doing. You were the one who was too tired. You've done this before. You've broken your ankle before. It's just broken. Just get over it. Just get on with it and it'll mend itself. That was the first orientation of my mind to go there. What I had to do was then reorient it to, actually, God wants to heal me. It's the battle that goes on, the reorientation of our mind, our heart, our attitude to that which God wants. So, it's how or what we focus on in our lives. Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it unbelief? Is it the circumstances around us? Is it our past? Or have we actually retrained our responses, whether they be what we think, our thought processes, how we react, our emotions, because often we can react to a situation that's not how God would actually really want me to react in that situation. Yeah, it just bubbles up, doesn't it? Bubbles up, fear or whatever it may be. Or have we decided to dwell on the goodness of God and the abundance of his promises in the situation? Jesus said these words, you know what, and we cannot get around it no matter how much we try. And I wish we could get around it. John chapter 15, and verse 7. I'm reading out of the Amplified Translation again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, now it has this in parentheses in the Amplified. That is, if you are vitally united. What does that mean? How do we become vitally united with Jesus Christ? It's relationship, isn't it? It's relationship. It's obedience. It's actually bothering to spend time in relationship. And my message lives in your heart. How does his message live in our heart? Hello? Can't hear you. How does his message live in our heart? How does his message get into our heart? Reading his word. It's the only way. Knowing his word is the only way that the message of God can get into our hearts. We cannot shortchange that. We cannot get around that. And just the same way that Gabriel used the example of Daniel coming to him, Daniel made the effort as talking to his dad. Daniel came to his dad. In the same way, we need to be those who go to God. We need to be those for that part to be developed, that unity, that unitedness to develop in our lives. John chapter 16 and verse 23 and 24 says this, "In that day you will not need." He's talking about when after Jesus was talking and after he goes, after he ascends, to heavens. He's talking to the disciples and he says, in that day you will not need to ask me about anything. I assure you and I solemnly say to you, whatever you ask, the Father in my name as my representatives, he will give you. Until now you have not asked the Father for anything in my name, but now ask and keep on asking, and you will receive so that your joy may be full and complete. You know what? See, if you look into that and read that, this is all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus. It's about remaining in him, being chosen and appointed by him, and asking the Father in his name. We don't remain to stay in that place of being united with Christ. It's not about remaining in ourselves. It's about remaining and abiding in him. It's about calling out to God in his name, not our name or anybody else's name. It's not about us, because if it were, our possibilities would be totally restricted and totally uncertain. But as this is all about Christ, we can expect to live in a real sense of expectation and can now experience his abundance and have our prayers answered just as his were answered. It's all about this idea of connection. You know what? And Jesus wasn't the only one who talked about expectancy in prayer. James, Jesus' half-brother. Did you know Jesus had some siblings? James was his half-brother. They're all only his half-siblings because their father was Joseph. Jesus' father wasn't Joseph. That's why they were half-brother. James talks about four levels of expectancy and being involved as we pray. He talks about there being no expectation, about wrong expectation, about double-minded expectation, and about single-minded expectation. We need to look in James chapter 4 for this. I want to start off in verses 1 and 2, and it says this: what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it, praying with no expectation. You do not have because you do not ask, and you do not ask because you do not have an expectation of receiving. That's exactly he's saying that, just in a paraphrased version. You know what? I'm pretty sure this is common with most of us, and it's certainly what I experience for myself, and I'm sure it's common with all of us as human beings. See, I cease to pray if I'm tempted by sin or I give in to sin. I cease to pray. I cease to pray about something, whatever it may be. I'm just going to use the word sin, because sin is disobedience. It's disobeying God, isn't it? That's all it is. So don't even go trying to imagine, I wonder what Jeff's been doing sinning. Well, what's he been up to? It's just disobedience at the end of the day. Or I cease to pray if I fail in something. I cease to pray if healing is delayed or it doesn't occur. Why bother praying? Or sometimes I cease praying because I lack peace or I face adversity, so I give up. You know what? I've read and I've been taught that we ought to pray for fear that we may fall into temptation, scripture. Or conversely, we pray to find success in life, to be healed, to feel at peace, and face life challenges. But too often, you know what? I stop praying Too often I stop praying if what I expected to get out of it doesn't happen at all, or in the way or in the timing that I personally desire in the situation. Just being really gut honest with you. I give up. I stop doing it. My expectancy drops away and I stop doing it. I cease to do what I know I should be doing. That's praying with no expectation. Or perhaps we need to consider that reason, the number one reason rather should be of the why of prayer is simply to be with Him. Actually, to regard that as the most important thing. Second one is this, praying with the wrong expectation or asking with wrong motivation. Carrying on in James chapter 4, there the next verse, in verse 3. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong and you want only what will give you pleasure. Man, that's tough, isn't it? That is going, it's like, you're just doing it for yourself, aren't you? Stop it. That's what James is saying. I love James. James doesn't pull any punches, does he? I mean, he must have been one of those guys. James and Peter must have really had some real... They must have gone at it together about discussions about things because they were pretty hard-nosed characters, the pair of them, by the sounds of things. The Bible has a lot to say about our motives. A motive is simply is this. It's the underlying reason for any action that we do. That's what a motive is. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2 says this. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, all the quest men. What does Jeremiah 17 verse 9 say? Something about the heart. Yes, it is wicked. It is deceitful about all things. Who can trust it? See, we can easily fool ourselves about our own motives. We can pretend that we are choosing certain actions or believing things from God, you know, or for the benefit of others, when in reality we have actually behind it somehow there is some reason that really is a wrong motive. We are taught to pray, ask in the name of Jesus, but we must never forget that it is not just a mere tagline or a full stop that has some sort of a magical thing to it, that as long as we say in the name of Jesus, everything is going to come to pass. Praying in Jesus' name is not about magic, but it's rather about an authority. The authority that we have in Jesus Christ. This authority has been given to us so we could see His purposes fulfilled. Not anybody else's purposes. His purposes fulfilled and His work done here on earth as it is in heaven. So to ask something in the name of Jesus, I think, is to ask as He would ask. And He would only ask according to the will of God. And unless we hear the will of God, God telling us something, we need to get our Bibles open and say, does this line up with the word of God? Yeah? Third one is this, praying with a double-minded expectation. Double-minded expectation doesn't sound right, does it? Sounds something wrong there. How can you have a double-minded expectation? James chapter 1, carrying on, and verses 5 and 8. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. Anybody heard enough yet? Just so like boom, boom, isn't it? NIV puts it this way. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. You know what? It is quite unreasonable. If you think about it, it's quite unreasonable to think that we could pray any different than praying double-minded if we are double-minded. How can you and I pray in a single-minded way if we are double-minded? What am I talking about? Double-minded is to be puzzled or befuddled in our expectations, i.e. divided loyalty. One foot in one camp, one foot in the other camp. I believe God, I don't believe God. I believe God, I don't believe God. I want to sell out to God, I'm not sold out to God. I'm sold out to God in that part, I'm not sold out to God in that part. That's what I believe is talking about, this whole idea of double-minded, divided loyalty. In fact, a dictionary definition of double-minded is a feeling of strong support for opposing groups. That's sort of like being a Chelsea supporter, a diehard Chelsea supporter, and then being a diehard Tottenham supporter. Or being a diehard Man City supporter and being a diehard Man United supporter. You're in trouble. It would be the worst would be being a diehard All Black supporter and then being a diehard Wallaby supporter. I mean, it's just... Oh, like, let's bring it more relevant. That would be like being a diehard English football supporter and being a diehard French supporter. I mean, it's just like, whoa, that's just not going to happen. So that's exactly right. Supporting God and supporting the flesh. Asking with expectation to receive, but asking with doubt, or in other words, the expectation to be denied. You know what? Because it becomes a self-fulfilling thing. If you ask God, believing that it's not going to be answered, it's self-fulfilling straight away. The only cure for this sort of problem is to get to know what God has to say. And the most solid faith that has great expectation knows what God has to say and reacts to that which God has to say. The last one is this, praying with single-minded expectation. James talked about praying with single-minded expectation, the prayer of faith. And the example I'm going to use from this is out of James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. He says this, are any of you sick? You should call the elders. Calling the elders, okay. Let me just say something. Elders here, elders is a gender issue. Elders are actually male. In the scriptures, males are elders. Leadership or leaders has no gender anywhere in the scriptures. It is a gifting. It is purely a gifting. That's why at LVC, we don't call ourselves elders. But if we were to say elders, it would be myself, Mick and Ian, the men of the leadership, of the senior leadership team. Bo, Haley and Denise are part of that team because they have leadership on them as a gifting. So the six of us make up the leadership team of Lee Valley Church. But three of us could only be called elders because we are men. My eldership is a gender thing. Leadership is not gender. You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you. So if any of you are sick, you know what you need to do? This is what the scripture says. If any of you are sick, you need to call myself, Mick and Ian, to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. So if that's what the scripture says, we should have an expectation that exactly that will work. Yeah? The prayer of faith is a prayer of expectation, single-minded and focused on God, based upon the promises of God, and doing so, it searches and it looks for this promise to be fulfilled. If you and I pray what the Word of God has to say, it almost like it goes out in the spiritual realm, searches for the thing to be answered, and answers that which has been prayed. Because the Word of God says, my word shall not go forth and return void. The Word of God will go out, accomplish what He has sent it to do. The most powerful praying we can do is stuff that lines up with the Word of God. When Bo and I went to Bible college in New Zealand, we were encouraged to only pray Scripture. Bo is, if you hear Bo pray, that's how Bo prays. Bo prays Scripture. If you want something to be prayed for, get Bo to pray for it, because she prays whatever Scripture lines up with it, and it usually comes to pass. It does. It's a fact. I don't as much because I don't have a recall of Scripture in quite the same way, but nevertheless, it's not an excuse. I've got the microphone. You can shush up. Shush. You know what? This bit of scripture here talks about a promise for healing so we can be confident in God when we pray. Exodus chapter 15, 26 says that God promises to be our healer. The most wonderful reality of all of this is God has promised us many other things that we can confidently pray. I.e. Philippians, just one, Philippians 4 and 19. My God shall supply or meet my needs according to his glory in Jesus Christ. Depends on what translation you're reading, is what I've read out. It's in New Living Translation. So if you have a need, what does the scripture say? That God will meet my needs according to his glory in Jesus Christ. Our needs are different to our wants. I do not need to have an R-class Mercedes. I would like to have an R-class Mercedes. That's just how it goes. So you know what? I pray for my needs to be met, not my wants to be met. There's a whole lot of other things I can include in that too. See, the promise of God is whatever he says he will do. In other words, it is the will of God. God's will is not some indistinct or indistinguishable. It's unclear. You can't identify it. It's vague. I could say it the other day. Or something we cannot grab hold of. In other words, it's vague or it is mysterious. But rather, it is clear. It is obvious. It is revealed to us in the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing. What is told and what is heard comes from the preaching of the message of Jesus Christ. See, as we get to know what the Word of God has to say, we start to determine the will of God. And as we do, faith begins to prove itself. That's just simply what happens. As we put into effect that faith that we get from the Word of God, and we begin believing in what God has to say in his word, our expectation then begins to increase to the place that we can know that we will have whatever we ask in prayer because we're asking it in accordance to the will of God. You can pray for your family members, no matter how long you've been praying for them, because the scripture says that he is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to a knowledge of him. So you can, with expectancy, we can, no matter how many years you may have been doing it, still to carry on praying with expectancy for your family members to come to know Christ who are not come to Christ yet. Or if you need healing in your body, you can pray with expectancy, believing God, because he promises healing. And he is the healer. So we can carry on praying with expectancy. See, developing our expectation in prayer, there are a number of principles or actions we need to build into our lives that will cause expectation to arise when we pray, so that we will see more of our prayers answered. I don't know about you, but I want more of my prayers to be answered. Anybody else? I want my family members to come to know God. I want the people of this town. I want revival to come. I don't want the number of people going to church on a Sunday morning in this country to be only 1.5%. I want, you know what, it's a churches to be full. It's the promises of God that people would come to know him. You know what? These aren't magical recipes. They need some effort on our behalf. You know what? Can't get around this. We have to spend time in the Word of God. We've got to get to know what the Word of God says. Spending time in the Word of God is not just about just blandly opening the Word of God up and just reading through it, even though we need to read through it, but it's actually memorizing important scriptures that pertain to certain situations. So if you have a need, you have a situation, find out what the scripture has to say. Pretty much all of us have got access to the internet. Pretty much all of us can go on the internet and go, what does the Bible say about this? Find that scripture. Okay, that scripture says that. God, your scripture says this. I'm going to pray that scripture. This is your will, Lord, because I know, because it's your word. If it's his word, it's his will. If I pray according to your will, you will hear what I have to pray and you will answer. So I'm going to pray what the scripture has to say, an expectation that you will back up exactly what you are saying, because your word does not go, is not sent out and attain nothing. It'll never come back void. It'll always accomplish what it's been sent to do. So we can do that. So find some scripture. Learn scripture. Secondly is this, the more we get to know both Christ, get to know him and of him, the more we ask according to his purposes and his desires in our lives. Thirdly, we need to give thanks before we pray, we need to give thanks when we pray before we even receive. Because that is expecting God to answer. And lastly is this, the more we press into God and his word, the more our doubts will go and our faith will grow. And as confidence grows, we can pray and fully expect to receive that which we are asking of him. You know what? So let us become firelighters. Let us become people of prayerful expectation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.